Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Great to be with you. It's the Bart Winkler Show. Carlos Ortiz alongside Marco Belletti on the updates. And remember, after this program, the Pat Boyle Show. Taking you overnight from 2 to 6 Eastern Time. Or 11 to 3 Pacific. That's pretty cool. Pat Boyle. Good stuff. I'm going to continue to talk about the NFL draft.
It Bold is strategy.
Coming up this week. Yeah, it's coming up this week. And there's some people that are like, oh, no, the NFL draft. Guess what? Guess what? After the draft, guess what we get to do then? Talk more about the draft. Can you believe this happened? Can you believe that happened? Trying to think of like the craziest moments in draft history. It's hard to think of them. There was the time Laramie Tunsil was caught having a gas mask to smoke, which I don't know why that like plummeted his stock. Remember the one time Minnesota forgot to turn their pick in? Bo Callahan got selected. That was crazy. A lot of crazy stuff. It's a joke. 888-710-4ISN. So here's some of the other things we've been talking about. We've been talking about some of the intel that is being shared to us. Is a great service from Adam Schefter at ESPN. He took the time to write an article and give us some of the information that he's been hearing. And we are very thankful for his service, and we're very thankful that he would allow us to have the information that he has. Again, with some caution, because sometimes people tell these reporters things that aren't true, but they want people to believe are true so that they could possibly get the guy they really want or maneuver and manipulate how somebody is going to get who they really want. So that is something interesting to see. Wait, I didn't realize there were 2 hockey games on. Is there a second hockey game on? Yeah,
I'm only watching the Colorado-Dallas one because that's a thrilling back and forth in overtime. But yes,
well, Edmonton just tied LA with a minute to go.
And that is on the four-letter network. 1 and 2, respectively, choose your own poison or vice, whatever. But yes, there is hockey in America. Enjoy, everybody.
Edmonton was down. Like 5-1. And now it's 5-5. Man, all you guys that say playoff hockey's the best, you might be onto something.
Yeah, I mean, I've been telling you for a couple months.
You just might be. Yeah, I think it was 5-1. 4-1, and then 5-2. Crazy. But I think it was 4-0 at one point. There was a 4-goal deficit in there at some point. Yes, it was 4-0. And then Edmonton sneaked one in. And the correct way to say that is snuck one in before the end of the second period. 888. Well, now I don't know which game to watch. Well, this one might be an intermission soon.
Yeah, oh, watch the overtime.
Good. Well, I got to see if anyone scores here in this last minute. How about you watch the other one and I'll watch this one?
Good, because I don't know where the remote is.
Oh, no! LA just scored! Wow! I don't know why I said, oh, no.
Yeah, don't make me flip if I don't have to.
Okay, I'm not making you flip. It's 6-5! 6-5! LA Kings! In LA! Against the Edmonton Oilers.
Man, we really are the hockey show on the network.
Well, there's stuff going on right now, man. This is some thrilling stuff. Look at me. Oh, this guy jumped over the puck. So I don't know anyone.
Just saw the replay right now.
So here, this guy passes it. That guy shoots it. This guy is jumping to try to not let it hit him.
Yeah, good job by 37 to get out of the way. Can't pronounce your last name at all.
Yeah, good job by him. Good job by him. Let me take a call. Brandon's in Chicago. Hey, Brandon, what's up?
What's good, B-Dub?
Los, thanks for taking my call tonight, guys.
Whenever this game, if it goes final, I will be interrupting you to tell people.
It's all good. No worries. It's your show, and you take it where you want to go, man. It's all good.
Yeah, all right.
But I just wanted to chime in on the conversation and the draft tonight. But with Barkley, man, I really don't think he'd be the same as he is with Philadelphia, considering the O-line and how dominant it is. You know, because I think he was only rushing like 4.7 yards per carry with the Giants, and then, you know, obviously transcended into something else with Philly.
But, well, Barkley was that good in New York. I mean, he was. You're saying he wasn't as good in New York as he was in Philly?
I mean, like, I don't think he would have. He wouldn't have reached his height. He wouldn't have.
I don't think he's rushing for 2,000 yards in New York this year, but I don't think that he's much different as a back. Yeah.
But to go with Philly and their idea of maybe drafting up, man, if they do that, man, they really do believe that defense wins championships. And can you imagine that defense with Carter? Oh, my God.
Yeah, that'd be absurd. Now, that was a report that apparently doesn't have a lot of legs, but I just thought I'd throw it out there and get some reaction because that's what we do.
For sure. But, man, I really hope that Genty does go earlier than 10 for the Bears. I think the Raiders might get Genty. But, you know, just because he's kind of a smaller back, he's kind of short, and just the competition that he was going against isn't like the competition you see in the Big Ten and the SEC. So I think that can play into consideration, too. I think that kind of built him up a little bit more than he really is. I really hope that the Bears take Tyler Warren, man, at 10. You know, Ben Johnson's kind of an offense. He likes to run two tight end sets. And, you know, he likes to make the same look different, you know. So you run the ball, and then you do play action. And that's the way to go, man. And every great QB has their tight end, if you look in history. I mean, you know, Kelsey with Mahomes, and then Gronk with Brady. So, I mean, if you do that,
Aaron
you
Hernandez.
Can see them grow. Yeah, Hernandez, exactly. you can see, I mean, the list goes on. And then, I mean.
Oh, hey, we got a lot going on, Brandon.
It's the final.
We got the Kings winning 6-5. We got the Stars with an OT lamp lighter. All right, Brandon, I got to let you go. Good call.
For sure, man. It's all good. Thank you.
Brandon,
did you like my goal horn?
That's exciting. Both the home teams won in these games we were enjoying. Dallas. The Dallas 8. Robert, the Dallas Stars won. So, Nico Harrison.
Who will not be hired by the Dallas Stars because they actually have a competent general manager.
Yeah, so right down the block, you got Nico Harrison. All right. There's a lot going on here. Let me do a professional reset and tell you about the NHL that has been in action tonight. The Jets beat the Blues 2-1. They're up 2-0. The Capitals, an OT winner from Alex Ovechkin. It's a pretty good night of hockey, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
This is where you get sucked in if you're a casual.
Yeah. Yeah, last year I got sucked in the Stanley Cup because people are like, hey, you probably should watch it for work. I was like, okay. This year, I might suck my own self in.
Thank you for that. By the way, Colin Blackwell, with your game winner, he shot it and was able to catch his own ricochet, and a follow-up shot is what did it for Dallas. Very, very well done, as I clip your now new drop.
You got it already?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't mean to. Oh, brother. What else happened? The Kings beat the Oilers 6-5 with a goal within the final minute, and the Stars just got the overtime win over the Avalanche. It was Colin Blackwell that scored. I don't know if Carlos told you that.
Just said it.
In the NBA tonight. What happened there? Pistons beat the Knicks. That series tied one apiece, 194. And the Clippers beat the Nuggets. Did I mention that? Oh, I think I did. Yeah, Jokic threw up that three. That series is tied at one apiece. So a lot of good stuff. And now for every MLB score, and I got to catch you up over the weekend, and Friday I wasn't here. So starting Friday, you had the Cubs beat the Diamondbacks 13-11. I'm just kidding, but I'm not. That game was insane. The Diamondbacks scored 10 runs in an inning, and they lost. Wow. Crazy stuff. All right. Brandon had a point about Ashton Jeanty that, you know, his schedule was not great. Well, and they played in the Mountain West. Ashton Jeanty, the lowest amount of rushing yards he had all season was 104, and that was against Penn State in the college football playoffs. 30 carries, 104. It was his lowest average of the year, and he did not score. It was only one of two games where he didn't score. Portland State also kept him out of the end zone on 11 carries. But they did face Oregon, and he was 25 for a buck 92 and three scores. So he did do well against Oregon, although I think the last thing you remember about Oregon is Ohio State gashing them apart. But I think he's going to be a good back, and I think he will go before the Bears go there at number 10. Now, Brandon had also mentioned the Eagles, and that's going to be another interesting storyline is there have been no trades yet of the first round. Nobody's traded out. Nobody's traded in. Nobody's traded out. Nobody's moving. But there are some teams, two teams specifically to watch, and that would be the Houston Texans and the Philadelphia Eagles, who I mentioned. So Nick Caserio is the general manager of the Houston Texans. He is overhelmed. Four drafts he has made, if you take the draft itself or the week leading up, or the, I guess we'll go back a little bit because there was a trade with the, so anyway, draft trades, there was a trade with the Vikings with Stephon Diggs last year, March 15th. But around the draft or the night of the draft, he has made 22 trades in 4 years. We are averaging more than five a trade. 2023, they moved up when they were able to take C.J. Stroud and then followed that right up with Will Anderson Jr. Massive move. No team's probably in a better position to make trades than the Eagles. Because over the next two drafts, they have 20 picks. They have 20 picks over the next two drafts. And Howie Roseman is a move-up kind of guy.
E-L-G-S-E-S.
Moved up in 2019 to take Andre Dillard. Moved up in 2021 to take Devontae Smith. Moved up in 2022 to take Jordan Davis. Moved up in 2023 to take Jalen Carter. So could they trade up, maybe trade for veteran pieces? That's going to be interesting to watch. If they traded up for Abdul Carter, the rumor was it would involve A.J. Brown, and that would be nuts. But Adam Schefter is doing his best to put water on that potential fire. Another team that could make a deal is the Atlanta Falcons. Not necessarily for a pick, maybe to acquire a pick. They've got Kirk Cousins. So what they've been up to is Kirk Cousins has $37.5 million worth of guarantees left on his contract. And they've been asking teams, hey, we'll trade him, but we need you to cover 20 of it. And teams have been like, you crazy, boo. Possibly they could get a team down to $10 million. Maybe the Steelers end up going this route. You know, Kirk Cousins, there's a chance he could be traded back to the Vikings. But the more money they take is going to change the pick that they get. So that's going to be interesting to see what happens there. So I think in terms of compelling storylines, there's a bunch of them. Just as the most casual way you could go is what's going to happen via the trade market. Right now, no team is traded out. And also the teams that may be interested in making deals, where the quarterbacks are going to go, what could happen in the top 10. Because all it takes, you know, you look at these mock drafts, all it takes is one kind of piece to be like, whoa, What would be the first whoa moment of the draft? I think if the Browns didn't take Hunter at two, I think if the Giants did take Shadur, we'd kind of be like, all right, we're the Patriots could be a little bit of a wild card. I don't know what they're going to do. They could go offensive line. They could go defense. They could trade. Ashton Jeanty expected to be a top 10 pick. The Saints possibly want a quarterback, depending on who they want. Maybe they'll trade out of it. Tight ends. There's a couple of tight ends. Colston Loveland out of Michigan. Tyler Warren out of Penn State. They could go. Chicago's there at 10. Even up to 7. The Jets have been quiet. Aaron Glenn says privacy is the name of the game. And other than Rodgers putting them on blast for making him fly all the way out there to be told we don't want you, could have been a phone call. But if it was a phone call, Aaron Rodgers would have put them on blast for not saying it to their face like a real man. You know that would have happened. So there's a lot of intrigue. There's a lot of interesting things that are going to happen come Thursday night. And we will be providing coverage along with JR. We are going to do the thing we did last year where we both are on the air at the same time. And we will do that during the first round of the draft. So I am actually going to make a little bit of a drive up to Green Bay and broadcast from the draft. I don't know where I'm going to park, probably in Wausau. But once I walk to Green Bay, the 90 miles, I'll be able to inform you and enlighten you on what is going on. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Big NFL draft guy, big NBA guy, became a little bit of a hockey guy this segment. David is in Buffalo. What'd you think of the ice action tonight, David?
What's up, Bart? Thanks for taking my call, man. Incredible night of hockey, man. I mean, these two games that just finished with L.A. getting that crazy win and Dallas winning in overtime. That's what playoff hockey is all about.
And the same time, too.
Yeah, it really was, man. And Colin Blackwell, here's a guy that was inserted into the lineup today. You see this a lot in the NHL playoffs. A guy that, you know, has been playing, you know, playing sparingly during the season, but the coaches and maybe the front office for Dallas saw something with his energy, you know, his the way he plays hard, you know, in practice and his commitment to the game. And it paid off there, you know, and that game with LA and Edmonton, I mean, to me, I mean, LA got out of there with a win, but I think I would have to be pretty nervous if I was a Kings fan at this moment, because to blow a lead like that, man, I think especially against Connor McDavid and Edmonton, I'd be a little nervous if I was a Kings fan right now.
Yeah, it should be some good action going forward, David. Thanks for the call. You blow a 4-0 lead, and they chip back and chip back to get that win. Very exhilarating. But then you start to look forward and see how these series will play out. The series aspect of both of these sports going on at the same time, it's very exciting to see the ebbs and flows. And there are teams, you go down 1-0. I'm talking either sport now, hockey or basketball. 1-0, you think it's over. 2-0, you think the world has ended. But you do see things shift back and forth depending on how the series are going to go. Tomorrow, or I should say Tuesday, you got the Bucks and the Pacers. You got the Grizzlies and the Thunder. You got the Timberwolves and the Lakers. And then on the ice, you'll be treated to another 4-pack of games. With the game getting started, the Carolina game gets started at 6 o'clock Eastern time, 5 Central, 4 Mountain. Carolina hosting New Jersey, Toronto and Ottawa, and then Tampa and Florida, Minnesota and Vegas, the nightcap. But that one doesn't get started till 11 o'clock Eastern. Geez, so ESPN getting a triple header in there, and to do that, they have to start a game at... there's a hockey game at 3 in the afternoon if you're in California. And then there's a hockey game that starts at 11 o'clock if you're in New York. So that's fun. But Minnesota is Central time, and they start at 10 o'clock Central. That's a little absurd. But, hey, worldwide leader, we bow down, we pray. 888-710-4ISN. We'll be back with some Guess What They Said NBA Playoffs edition when we come back on the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast. Here at the Bart Winkler Show, we give you hot takes, hot mics, and hot guesses.
It really doesn't matter what you say. And I'm hoping that nobody on our team is playing for you.
It's the audio of the day you need and the transcript you don't.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
I'm real serious.
I put my heart and soul into this every single week.
The contestants are ready.
You play to win the game. Hello?
The Bart Winkler Show proudly presents Guess What They Said.
Listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
Here is tonight's host, Carlos with a K.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Damn straight. Guess What They Said every Monday and Friday here on the Bart Winkler Show. It's the only game that's original. Thus, the segment is a hit. On Mondays, we get you the audio of the day slash weekend, and Bart will try to guess what he, she, it had to say.
They,
them, objects, whatever your pronouns that you are into. Sure, slide them all in. I don't care. I don't judge. All right, Bart.
My pronouns are sports talk.
I go by he, him. Let's go to the Thunder. They had a great showing. They wound up blowing out the Grizzlies 131-80. They get a 1-0 lead in this series, best of seven, Oklahoma City and Memphis. So, what did the Thunder's success start with? Well, SGA had an answer for that. Bart, I want you to take a guess on what he had to say. It's a little longer than I like, but, you know, it's a good clip, so whatever. 22 seconds of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. What do you think he had to say on what the Thunder success starts with?
Well, it starts with all of us. It starts with the same kind of camaraderie and teams, teamsmanship.
Not
a word.
It starts with the chemistry.
It starts with us playing together, playing for one another. That's what we've done all year. It's how we put ourselves in this position is that we go out there. It's not just one guy. You know, some nights it's going to be one guy. Sometimes it's going to be another guy, but... it's Thunder basketball is playing as a unit, playing cohesively and playing together. And that's what we do.
Yeah, it all starts with getting stops.
We get stops
and we're able to play fast, play to our strengths, play in open space. That's the key to it all. I mean, if you look at any of those runs, we stack multiple possessions of great defensive possessions. Then it allows us to be who we are offensively.
I'm sorry. I was actually looking for a real answer and not the cliche stuff about, hey, teamsmanship. We're all friends.
Kumbaya. Now, if there's one team that is full of teamsmanship, it has been the Thunder.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are doing their post-game interviews together. It's almost like obnoxious how much they like each other. So you can believe why I would have been led astray based on the information that I known, but... Wow, stops. Okay, jeez. All right, 0-1.
All right, and that's how the cookie crumbles sometimes. 0-1, you still got four chances to make it right, get a win. So it's not all over yet. So let's go over to tonight's NBA action, or yesterday, depending on where on the coast that you live on, but we're not playing this game. The Pistons and the Knicks. Pistons evening the series, 194 win for them. They will now head to Detroit. Cade Cunningham, talk about a game, 33 points, 42 minutes, and guards came to play in this one because Brunson did as well for New York. But let's go to the winning coach and J.B. Bickerstaff. I want you to guess what he had to say in 19 seconds on how they won the game. Guess what J.B. had to say.
We just played together. It was teamsmanship. It was, how did they win the game? We just got all hustle. You know, we got to win a road game. This is a tough playoff series. We got to match their intensity. We let one slip away. We got embarrassed the other night. We got to make sure that we're getting stops, converting at our end, and we just have to make sure we finish the quarter, and finish the game.
We did what we were supposed to do. And that was it. To win a game on the road, you know, to get home court was what we came here for. So we approached it with a businesslike mentality and learned from the fourth quarter the other night. But we just did what we were supposed to do.
Now, here's why you're going to get... Here's why you're going to get it. Because you mentioned that they were able to learn from game one. If you did not mention that, you were staring at an 0-2 deficit. But I'd showed you a little bit of leeway. Mm-hmm. Because, again, we want the spirit of the clip, and you did get that part. And also, I'm not doing fractional points again because that was hell trying to figure that out last time. Therefore, my laziness to your advantage, you are now 1-1 with three clips to go. So,
yeah, I thought that could have gone either way. I thought that I was there. I was kind of chunky with my answer.
You don't say.
It wasn't so much me giving an answer to a question as it was me throwing darts at things I hoped that you would have said. So I gotta be better on my end. I gotta be better. I gotta give 110%.
Well, that is impossible considering 100% is the most that you can get. Anything else is physically impossible. Let's go to the losing coach, the New York Knicks head coach Tom Thibodeau. He had a problem with the officials, the way his guys were getting called on fouls. Apparently, you know, the Pistons weren't getting that many whistles against them. So I want you to guess what Tom Thibodeau had to say in 13 seconds on what he wants from the officials going forward.
What do we have here? You know what? May I look at a box score?
Sure. I'll allow it.
Okay. The Pistons got to the line 34 times. The Knicks got to the line 19 times. Ooh. I just want it to be fair. I just want it to be even, call it both ways. You double up on free throws for one team. How is this not a foul there and it's a foul there? I just want it to be equitable. I just want it to be even. I heard this one in the update.
Okay, so do I still play it?
Yeah.
Look, I really don't give a crap how they call the game as long as it's consistent on both sides. So if Cunningham's driving and there's marginal contact and he's getting to the line, then Jalen deserves to be getting to the line. It's really that simple.
All right, well, you heard it. I mean, what am I supposed to do, penalize you for having ears? You're 2-1.
Now, do you like the mischievous? That's not a word either.
Mischievous.
The mischievous nature when I knew it, but I was like, yeah, let's look at a box score. I just thought I'd say I knew it.
Well, your honesty also might have given you at that point. Also, these next two clips are not in your wheelhouse because you are going to go in a 2-1 lead, but you're going to have to hope on hockey in order to win this game. I want you to take a guess. Here's Blues head coach Jim Montgomery. The Blues, by the way, they are facing 0-2 deficit.
Didn't they fire their coach this year?
The Blues?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Wasn't Jim Montgomery in the news for some reason?
Well, I mean, he just talked, so he's in the news right now. The Jets beat the Blues 2-1. So, again, they go 2-0 in their series, heading over to St. Louis.
Oh, no, he was Boston's coach.
Oh, there you
go.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, and then St. Louis fired their coach when this guy became available.
Yeah,
remember that?
Hockey coaches are they're passed around like bottles at the club. Peter Laviolette, I have no doubt he will get a head coaching job within like 6 weeks. Like,
yeah, that's like the one guy I can look at and say I know he's a hockey coach.
Yeah, seriously. All right, well, if I can finally stick the landing here, I want you to guess what Blues head coach Jim Montgomery had to say on what went wrong on the power play. Again, they lost 2-1. They weren't able to get any chances when they had the 5-on-4 advantage. So this one's only 12 seconds long. Do your best.
I was a hockey guy last segment. I don't think I'm a hockey guy this segment. What went wrong on the power play?
Right. Why weren't they able to capitalize?
Well, because we just didn't execute. When you have strength in numbers in this game, you have to take advantage of those opportunities. And nothing about it was good enough. Then pass well enough, then shoot well enough. We gotta execute.
I don't think we were shot focused enough. I do think we had some really good looks, and we didn't execute either the pass or, more importantly, the shots. And I thought Hellebuck made a couple of big-time saves.
Yeah.
How in the hell?
Yeah.
I shouldn't even allow it. I shouldn't even allow it. But that is the point of this game.
Because you don't have to know a damn thing about nothing. These guys all say the same stuff.
Very close there. Well,
hey,
good Mac, for
McAfee
you.
Can say F.
I guess.
No one cares.
You know, we really need some leeway over here. All right, so everybody keeping score at home. That's 3-1.
At 2:30 in the morning.
Even though I should, you know, say it's 2-2 because he did hear that last clip. You know what? Executive decision. You need this last clip going into it. I've amended the score. You are 2-2 going into our fifth clip.
Don't. This is when I get mad. It was when you do this kind of.
Well, let's see. Let's see if you'll stay mad. I want you to guess what Capitals head coach Spencer Carberry had to say about Alex Ovechkin's leadership
tonight.
Great
eggs, by the way. Great eggs.
Oh, yeah. Well, man, nothing beats a Carberry egg. The Capitals won in overtime, 3-2 over the Montreal Canadiens. Washington won in overtime. Alex Ovechkin got the goal there. So, again, I want you to guess what head coach Spencer Carberry had to say about Alex's O's leadership tonight. Oh, and this is 11 seconds.
Oh, just classic Alex. This is what he's built for. He's built for these moments, even at this stage in his career, to still have that. And he's a guy that these guys look up to, and you know, he's follow through, and it's just incredible. Just making more memories. It's great.
Made a couple of big plays for us tonight. Was physical, set the tone. First period. Yeah, he was leading the charge and dragging guys into the fight.
I don't really think you got that one right, but you know what? I amend my amendments. You win 3-2. Why not? Guess what they said.
You're like the Nico Harrison of game show hosts. You make it way harder than it needs to be.
Careful. I will trade you for a vending machine.
Vending machines are a good source of income if you can get into it.
Oh, yeah, you're telling me. I know a guy that's got a couple of vending machines in the Northeast, and he's making some pretty solid loot.
I told my dad when I was 12. I was like, Dad, you know what we should do to make some money is get one of these storage units. Because you don't have to, like, ever go there. You just change a light bulb, and it just prints money. And he's like, yeah, it's a good idea.
Never did it.
Never did it. Instead, Winkler Beanie Babies Incorporated. It was really what dragged us down in the mid-90s. I might suck my own self. Hey, that's not what I said. Get out of here.
That is actual audio.
That's AI. I might suck my own self into the NHL playoffs.
Now, context matters, but not on drops.
I might suck my own self. All right, now I'm getting excited. 888. Just go to the update, Marco.
Bored.
This is Marco Belletti. Marco Belletti. Thank you for sticking around. It's the Bart Winkler Show. Carlos Ortiz alongside Pat Boyle. Coming up next for the Pat Boyle Show. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. NFL draft coming up on Thursday night. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. There's just too much, man. It's overstimulating. We got a lot to try to keep track of. A little something for everybody. That's good. But what if you like it all? The human brain was not meant for this much information to be pummeled into it. They say we only use 10% of our brain. Who said that? And why is it a thing we say? There's no way. There's no way that 90% is just sitting there rotting. Because this 10%, if I'm only using 10%, it is maxed out, man. It's begging. 1 other percent, please. Pick up some of the slack around here. I don't know what that served for anybody. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710.
Thanks for sticking around.
And somehow that's got a living part of my brain. Denver, I got that taking up 2%. Danny's in Baltimore. Hello, Danny.
Hey, guys. I appreciate you taking my call. I've called in a few times now. I look forward to calling in the future. Love the show. I mean, I tune in tonight, and the first thing I hear is, is Bart talking about getting sucked into the NHL playoffs, and that's what this show's about. So I love it. My thoughts on the NFL draft. I think this is probably the most important draft that the Steelers have had in a really long time. Especially if Aaron Rodgers doesn't make a decision going it before the draft. They might get stuck with Jalen Milroe. I don't think Jackson Dart really falls to them. And if they don't choose the quarterback, if they don't get Aaron Rodgers, and they also, they might need to do both in the same year, get Aaron Rodgers and still draft a quarterback for the future. I don't think Mike Tomlin is their coach next year. If they don't get a productive quarterback, I don't think they're going to hold on to that record of at least 500. And even if they do, I don't think it matters very much. They need to take a step up this year. And if they don't, I don't think Mike Tomlin is their coach next year. So just because of that alone, I think it's a very crucial draft for them. Whether they try to trade up and maybe get Shador, I don't see that happening, or more possibly get Jackson Dart or get stuck with Jalen Milroe. No matter what happens, if it's not already showing positive signs by the end of this season coming up, I think Mike Tomlin is done there, and being in Baltimore, I'll be fine with that. So yeah, I think it's an understated importance, definitely.
Danny, thanks for the call. A Ravens fan thinking about what the Steelers are up to. I totally get it and understand it. Aaron Rodgers won't make a decision before the draft. I do wonder, though, he's got to be rooting for the Steelers to not end up with a quarterback in the first round, because then he can ask for some leverage. Although he said he doesn't care about the money. He'll play for 10 M's. If he's got to play for 10 M's, he'll play for 10 M's. He's fine with that. The Steelers are interesting, again, because they don't have a second-round pick. If they had a second-round pick, they could get a quarterback there. So they're picking at number 21. And then in the second round, they would be picking at number 52. They traded that to the Seahawks. There would be a quarterback there at some point. Now, would it be the guy that you'd walk away with and feel the best about? I don't know. I'll just pull up one mock draft on Tankathon. And I don't know when they updated this last, but this is where the quarterbacks are going on one mock draft. Just to give you an idea what could be available. Cam Ward, number one, Titans. They've got Shador at 9 to the Saints. They have the Steelers taking Walter Nolan, defensive lineman out of Ole Miss. So if you don't take a quarterback there, then you're saying either we feel good that we're getting Rodgers and that's fine, or we're going to take the guy that's available in the third round. So who's going to be there in the third round? Jackson Dart is 34 to the Giants in this mock draft. Just one mock draft I pulled up. And then Jalen Milroe, 83, third round. Tyler Shuck, 94, or second round. Third round. 83, Jalen Milroe. Tyler Shuck, 94. Will Howard in the fourth round they have here. Ohio State. So you could see Quinn Ewers at some point later in the draft. You could see Dylan Gabriel. I don't think whoever takes Jalen Milroe, I don't think they're going to feel like they're stuck with him. There's a lot of upside, especially with the dual threat ability to Milroe, that a team might like. You know, you look at these quarterbacks that are very good runners, which I think a lot of teams are intrigued in, and they may want to take him. I still think quarterbacks are a popular pick in day one. I've said I think we see four. The other option to that is I think we're either seeing four or we're seeing two. Steelers have to come away. If they like a quarterback, they have to come away to find one in round one. Because I don't think they're at the point at that position where they can say, we'll see who we get in round three. Or we like a guy enough that we think he's going to be there in round three. Trading that second round pick, really does limit their options. And I'm not saying they shouldn't have traded it. They traded it for DK Metcalf, who, if you pair him up with a quarterback, what a weapon that is, especially with George Pickens on the other side. Problem is, who are you pairing him up with? And I know he's been working out with Rodgers, so I've seen the picture. But by not having that second round, it takes some options off the board, and then it makes things tighter. Now, they could also trade out. We may be in a situation where you don't have a lot of teams looking to trade up, but you got a lot of teams looking to trade out. If that's the kind of currency we're dealing with, well, then we may not see that many moves. A team like Minnesota's only got 4 picks. They could be looking to move some pieces. I think there's some other teams that San Francisco, according to Adam Schefter, interested in moving some down. Nobody's really calling to move up, or we may have seen a trade by now. So going to be interesting. Continue to talk about tomorrow, Wednesday, and then finally the real thing on Thursday, and we'll be in Green Bay for it. For Marco Belletti and Carlos Ortiz, I am Bart Winkler. Thanks to all of you for participating. The Pat Boyle Show is up next. This has been The Bart Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
Thank you for listening to The Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.